This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
And I've got John Hancock sitting in with me. It's supposed to be a Hancock and Kelly Friday, but there's no Kelly.
Nope.
And there's no Amy.
Nope.
Who do they think they are?
I don't know. Life must be good.
Are they on? They go on vacation
all
more
the time.
I'm telling you.
They're both out west, I think.
They could both be president, these two going on wherever they're going. I don't know where they're going, but they're always gone.
Yeah, Michael's seeing the Grateful Dead in the
Sphere. At the Sphere.
Yes.
That's right. He loves the Sphere.
And he loves the Grateful Dead, which I don't really get it, but, you know.
I don't get the Dead either.
Yeah.
It just never did anything for me.
And they're all dead.
Well, Jerry Garcia is, but isn't somebody still around?
There's a couple of them, yeah, but I mean, you know. I think they're more dead than alive.
I got a couple of Jerry Garcia ties.
Have you?
Yeah, I do.
Very nice.
So John Hancock, Chris Ranji, today on the Chris and Amy Show, we have a phone number that you can reach out to us, 314-436-7900. Feel free to also send us a message, a voice message, that is, from the Odyssey app, if you're listening to the show with the app, which is free and it is great and it sounds good and you can rewind and fast forward and listen to the podcasts and listen to Cardinals baseball on it. You can have it right on your phone. There's a button that says send a message. Tap it and record your message and send it. You can also watch us if you want to. John, you hear that? We're streaming live.
Not advisable.
On Facebook, on YouTube, and Twitter at Chris, Amy, KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Multiple people injured and a couple dead after a 20-year-old suspect went on a mass shooting at Florida State University yesterday. We'll get the latest on that. We'll check in with CBS at 9:30.
And our St. Louis Blues are headed back to the Stanley Cup playoffs. They take on the Winnipeg Jets. That series gets underway tomorrow evening, and the Blues have been hot.
They have been hot. Now, they did lose those three games before the finale. They won. They needed to win to get in, and they did it. So now they are in the playoffs. The Cardinals continue their series after losing to the Mets yesterday. So the second of a four-game series will be tonight. That game is on KMOX. We have the pregame show at 5:15 and a 6:10 first pitch. You can listen to it on 104.1 FM. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app. And, of course, the old trusty 1120. That's still there for you.
Who have we got? Michaelis on the mound tonight, I think.
It is Miles Michaelis. I believe you are correct. Mm. Yeah. Oh, also the Gas House Gang. That is later today at 12 o'clock. I've got Kevin Wheeler sitting in with me today. And because the Blues are in the playoffs, we got Tom Stillman.
Nice.
You know Tom Stillman. He owns the place. He will be joining us to talk about it. John Rooney will talk Cardinals with us. And that's all coming up starting at 12 o'clock. Gas House Gang every day from 12 until 1. So, John Hancock, 4 days into the new tenure for the St. Louis mayor? So, here we are. Everything's better?
Well, no, but she's got a real opportunity here. And we'll see if she seizes it. And I suspect she will. I hope she does. But I do think just delivering basic essential government services will be a step in the right direction. And I think now that you've got the police board situation under control, I know there's a lawsuit out there, but I don't think it's credible.
And we're talking about state control of the police department.
Yeah, the governor appointing 4 of the 5 members of the police board. I think you're going to see more support from police. And a short-term thing that I think – talked about this with Michael a little bit. There's this new police training center that's got a $50 million grant from the state of Missouri, and they're purporting – to train the police for St. Louis County, St. Louis City, Franklin County, and St. Charles County. Those 4 jurisdictions need to form a compact and agree to train their officers at this state-of-the-art facility. That was somewhat under doubt under the Jones administration. But I think now with the police board being appointed by the governor, and I think you're going to see the regional cooperation between St. Louis County, St. Charles, and Franklin County, those 4 entities joining forces and having that amazing facility is going to be a real boon to our ability to attract people to the profession of peace officers.
Yeah, I think we certainly need improvements there. I know that one of the major challenges to the city, and it's one that we discuss on the show a lot, is just the lack of activity that happens in the heart of our city, which is downtown. And, you know, the Cardinals just had a series here, and I don't know, I was on Twitter and somebody had retweeted a tweet from somebody else, or just a random person who I guess was traveling to different ballparks around the country. And I just read a couple of his comments, and, you know, this is just one person, but I don't think he's alone in this. He said, hey, the ballpark is great. They got a beautiful ballpark. And the surrounding area is awesome right around the ballpark. But if you go a couple of blocks north into downtown, there's just so much vacancy. You know, everything is empty. And it's true. If you drive around the city, and I think people who live down here would probably argue against that and say, no, it's not true. There's this place and this place. Yeah, there are places, but it's almost like you got to find a spot, a restaurant, a bar, a business. Then you got to walk a little bit, and then you find another one. It's not like business, 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 business next to each other.
Yeah, I mean, Ballpark Village is that way.
Ballpark, but it just that's its own entity with multiple businesses in it. And that doesn't exist without the Cardinals, right?
Correct.
So as far as like the downtown goes, like the old infrastructure and the really nice old buildings we have that could be renovated or, you know, torn down and something new built, whatever. There isn't much going on. And I don't think, I know for a fact that it doesn't help us. It holds us back in a very big way because that's the perception. If you come in from somewhere else and you want to walk around the heart of the city, you don't find much and you think, oh, what's going on down here? Right. And that really does hold us back.
Yeah, it's a bit of a chicken and egg. I do think that when the perception of crime begins trending in the right direction, I think that provides the impetus maybe to attract some investment back into the city. And there are some good things going on. The National Geospatial up north, I think you're going to see economic activity surrounding that part of St. Louis, which has been neglected for decades.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you stretch down the Central Corridor, and you go past the Enterprise Center, you get to the soccer park, the Energizer Field, and even the other direction down to the Convention Center and Dome where the Battlehawks are still drawing 30,000 people. You know, the bones are there for something pretty special.
That's right.
And the Grand Arts District is amazing with the Fox Theater. Yep. You got jazz in St. Louis. There's a lot in that little area to recommend it. So, you know, the elements of growth and optimism are there.
Yeah, and I hope that there are people soon who are willing to invest. I hope that people start to want to be attracted to downtown again. We know the crime numbers have started to go down.
Yep.
And you were right talking about the north side of the city, which has been neglected for a very long time. That's one thing the previous mayor was very right about. And it's not like that part of the city, if it's neglected, it just stays there. You know, it has effects all over the area.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't just say, well, you know, that's just one part of the city. Don't worry about that. Well, that's not how things work. You know, if you have one major part of your city which is run down or is underdeveloped or has a lack of any sort of investment or commitment to it, then you're looking at problems all over your city.
Yeah, and there are, you know, a myriad of socioeconomic problems that plague that part of the city. Not going to get into them all here, but that's a bigger problem than simply development. It needs a lot more.
And it's bigger than the mayor.
Yes.
So that's where I think the challenge comes, because there needs to be investment in the north side. There needs to be investment downtown, but it's not all going to be about the mayor. And that's part of where my skepticism comes in. We've spoken to Kara Spencer a number of times. She's been kind enough to come into the studio and talk with us. And, you know, she's always willing to speak. So I do like her for that. I think the challenge of the job may be greater than whoever assumes the office. Somebody has to be able to do it well, but I don't know what well looks like. Like, what does a successful mayor in St. Louis look like? What is the end result of it? I'm not sure what that is, and I hope we don't have unreasonable expectations of it.
Well, and the other problem that you have for any mayor in St. Louis is the way the government's structured. The mayor really isn't running the city. It's that Board of Estimate and Apportionment, which is the mayor, comptroller, and president of the board, who have to get together, and they basically are a three-headed monster that runs the place. And that structure is arcane, and I think that holds us back as well.
That is John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji. Feel free to check in with us. We'd love to hear from you today at 314-436-7900. You can call that number. You can text it. You can drop us a voice message on the Odyssey app. There was a United States senator who had some interesting comments, John. I wanted you to hear him, and I want to hear what you have to say about what she had to say. That is coming up next on the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris and Amy's show on 104.1 FM KMOX, but John Hancock is being Amy Mark's course today.
Yes,
No Michael Kelly. Usually we get Michael for this first hour on a Friday, but he's got better stuff. Yeah. He's seeing the dead. Is this Grateful Dead? What is this?
That was Yes, buddy.
This is, oh yeah, you mm-hmm. love Yes.
I do love Yes.
You've talked about them many times.
Going to see their lead singer with PJ over here.
That's right. John Anderson.
Really?
Yeah.
When is that?
I don't know.
We don't know. We
got the tickets, though.
I hope it's not this weekend.
I hope so, too, because I don't think you're prepared for it.
I'm not.
And it's going to be very, very rainy all weekend long.
I know.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Upending the Easter egg plans for my 3-year-old granddaughter.
Oh, yeah. She probably loves finding the eggs.
She does.
You want to take a call before we get to the stuff?
I don't know.
We can. Gregory is in St. Louis and with us on KMOX. Hello, Gregory.
Good morning.
Talk to me.
Yes, sir. I was thinking, I've been in St. Louis all my life, and one of the greatest mayors that I think we ever had was A.J. Cervantes.
Yeah?
And if Mayor Spencer could have the type of friends and leadership that he had and made, this city would thrive.
I appreciate it, right. Gregory. I don't know much about him. He was only the mayor, and I think he was out before I was born.
Probably. He was not out before I was born. In fact, nobody was out before I was born.
You were here for every single
every
St. Louis mayor.
Yeah, Mayor Cervantes and his son, Barry, is still very active in the community. We've talked to him a few times. Mayor Cervantes was very good for development and economic activity, and those were some glory years for the city of St. Louis.
He was the mayor from 1965 to 1973.
Yep, two terms.
So I was born 4 years after he left office.
Well, good for you, Ron.
Right? I know. All right, so I wanted to bring this to you, and I know that you may have heard this by now. And I saw the story written yesterday. I saw the quote from Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski, who is a Republican. And she was speaking to a group of business leaders, I believe, because it was held by the CEO of a company called the Foraker Group, which I am not I'm not familiar with it. I don't know what it is, but it was a discussion. And she was at the microphone or holding a microphone. And she was asked a question about navigating the current administration and ever pushing back against the administration, and this is what she had to say about it.
We are all afraid, but we're in a time and a place where I don't know. I have not been here before. And I'll tell you, I'm oftentimes very anxious myself about using my voice, because retaliation is real. And that's not right, but that's what you asked me to do. And so I'm going to use my voice to the best of my ability. And sometimes it will be viewed in a way that, well, that's pretty confrontational.
So what she said, and the audio is not great. It was posted by the Anchorage Daily, which is a newspaper there. And it's obviously not great audio, but what she said was she's afraid And she's afraid to speak out and afraid to use her voice because retaliation is real. Mm-hmm. Those of them, I'm summarizing what she said, but that is what she said. And she also said this is a very unusual place to be in. She had not been in this kind of position in 20 years. Well, you know, used to be able to feel like you could speak out if you didn't agree with the president, but now you can't out of fear of retribution, what he might say and what his followers might do if, you know, he speaks out against you, you know, the threats that you might get. So this is a really, it's a different place we are in now that we have, at least in my lifetime, John, not been.
Well, and when you consider Lisa Murkowski, her father, Frank Murkowski, had been in Alaskan politics. So this is a family with a 50-year political pedigree.
All Republicans, right?
All Republicans. And the other thing that is unique in this time that we've really not seen since probably the late 1970s, the Republican Party has realigned. It's changed. It's different. And it's no longer what I would call a movement conservative policy enterprise, which it had been really from the time of Ronald Reagan up until Donald Trump. And now the party's different. It's a nationalistic party. It's a populist party. And because it is those things, and it is those things, that is what the Republican Party is. The electorate that comprised the Republican Party has changed. And so what you've got now is a fundamentally different type of voter that's going to the polls and voting in primaries. And those voters are overwhelmingly pro-Donald Trump. They like what he's doing. They appreciate the tariffs and what those are going to mean. They like the foreign policy of focusing on America first. They like the deportation of illegal immigrants. And so that's what the party is. It's a populist party. It's a movement party. And Trump is a movement. And so I do think that, you know, your older and more traditional Republican elected officials have either had to kind of modify their rhetoric and their issue matrix that they set out and adapt to where their electorate is, or they speak out. Holding on to their core movement conservative principles to the dismay and disdain of the president. And what history has taught us over these last 8 years is that Republicans do that to their own electoral peril. And that's why, you know, there's three, maybe four votes in the Senate that have not gone lockstep with Donald Trump. And most of those people are either leaving, as in the case of Mitch McConnell, or they've got a unique electoral system as the state of Alaska, which uses ranked choice voting. And that's what allows somebody like Murkowski to get elected and reelected because an awful lot of Democrats vote for her as their second choice.
Yeah. And Dave is watching on YouTube and says, how many Dems spoke out against the Biden administration? I'd say quite a bit. I mean, there's no retribution. Nothing really happened to any Democrats that would say something against the president. He was criticized for Afghanistan. I think rightfully so. The pullout. It was probably going to be messy anyway, but that could have been done better. And any military leader you talk to will tell you the same thing. That could have been done better. He's been criticized for, you know, his debate performances, for his misspeaking. There were plenty of Democrats that before he finally stepped down who would say, hey, you know, maybe we should start to look a different direction.
Well,
there was no retribution against
him. They forced him out of the presidential race, something he did not want to do.
He was very stubborn in that way.
He
had to be talked out of it.
He did.
He came to the decision on his own. Yes, he came to the decision on his own, but he was pressured to get out. And he listened to his people. That is John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji. We do want to get an update from Florida after the shooting yesterday at Florida State University. Two at this moment we know about are deceased. There are many injured. We will talk about that shooting with Anna Schechter, who will join us. She is from CBS News Crime and Safety Unit Leader. That is next on 104.1 FM KMOX. John Hancock and Chris Ranji today on the Chris and Amy Show. Amy is out. Michael Kelly is out as well. And we go to the guest line this morning. We heard about the shooting at Florida State right toward the end of our show yesterday, and there have been some developments into the evening and this morning. And to find out about what we know at this point, we go to Anna Schechter, the Crime and Safety Unit Leader for CBS News, with us now on KMOX. Anna, we appreciate your time today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
So can you just give us sort of everything that we know to this point about who was killed, who was injured, and more about the shooter?
Absolutely. So two are deceased. We are identifying one of the men, I believe in his 50s. He worked at the school. We are awaiting identification on the second victim who passed away tragically. Six injured. They are all doing better than they were last night. We believe two, we just learned from the hospital, actually, two will likely be discharged today. So some good news on this front. The suspect is still in the hospital and has continued to decline to answer investigators' questions, invoking his rights not to cooperate. And so that is where we stand. Obviously, the community is left reeling. Students, some students have been allowed to go back and retrieve items from some parts of the campus. Of course, this is a large university. This is a massive amount of people to have to manage and deal with. In the chaos yesterday, so many just dropped their bags and fled. And today, quiet, somber on campus.
Yeah, this was, it's really fascinating is not the right word, because it is a tragic story, but another layer of this that is something that a lot of people have paid attention to is the fact that this is the son of a sheriff's deputy, and he used her service weapon or her old service weapon. And since he's not cooperating, I'm guessing we don't know how he got possession of it, right?
That's correct, and that is part of an investigation that the sheriff's office and the Tallahassee Police Department are conducting. But there's no evidence that the deputy, who's his stepmother, violated any laws. He is above the age of 16. He's a 20-year-old young man. The only safe storage law in Florida applies to minors under the age of 16 who are able to obtain unsecured guns from homes. So that law does not apply to her. There was a Florida law instituted after the last major school shooting that made it more difficult for young people to purchase long guns and handguns, but that doesn't apply here either. He used her former service weapon that she then purchased when the department upgraded and issued her a new service weapon.
Is there any sort of rule against that if it's a service weapon that you have to maintain possession of it forever, or are you allowed to give it to a family member? Are you allowed to give it to somebody else?
Well, she purchased it, and so it belonged to her in her own capacity as a citizen of the state of Florida. So once she purchased it, it was not, you know, a department-issued firearm any longer.
Anna Schechter is our guest. She's the Crime and Safety Unit Leader for CBS, and she joins us this morning. I'm sure that journalists and certainly the authorities have been looking into this suspect's social media history. What do we know about him at this point?
It's a great question. I mean, we are doing the same investigative work on our teams as the police are doing, and the FBI are assisting them. So he did have social media accounts, which were locked and shut down soon after the shooting. Some of the posts that we captured showed a Bible verse. So we haven't learned very much from that. But we also have a quote from him in the student newspaper in January, where he was sort of talking about Trump taking office. It's hard to glean from that quote if he was dismayed by it or if he was more just sort of poking fun at people who were. We've seen reports from other newspapers that he espoused sort of conspiracy theories, far-right ideologies, and that's what investigators are digging into now. Was there any kind of radicalization that happened online? We've also spoken to former schoolmates who said that they rode the bus with him and were in middle and high school with him, and that he did take some special education classes. So he had some health issues that his father also alluded to in documents related to a bitter custody battle between his father and his birth mother, who's also a citizen of Norway, and at one point in 2016 brought him to Norway without telling his father. And that precipitated a flurry of court filings. And ultimately, he moved in pretty much full time with his father and changed his name from Christian Eriksson, which is the name he went by as a younger child in middle and high school, and then changed his name to Phoenix Eichner, taking on his father's last name.
Anna, before we say goodbye here, tomorrow is the 30th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing at the federal building. And just looking back on that, what is, this may not, maybe a more complicated question than just a few seconds, but what has changed about us as a result of what happened then?
Well, unfortunately, the Oklahoma City bomber became a hero in some dark corners of the internet. And also, unfortunately, we've seen so many more people carrying out violence in the name of some ideology, or whether it's anti-government or with Luigi Mangione, capitalism and, you know, against the healthcare system. And then we've seen a steady increase. If you look at a graph going back to 2011 of school shootings, it just continues to climb just about every year. So we're up to, you know, every year, 300-400 school shootings in this country. It's really alarming.
Well, Anna Schechter, we do appreciate your time today. Unfortunately, the subject matter is not all that fun, but we thank you for talking with us today.
I'm happy to be with you. Thanks again.
Anna Schechter is the Crime and Safety Unit Leader for CBS, joining us here. How well do you remember Oklahoma City? Were you, like, really paying attention to the coverage at the time? I was, I mean, just getting done with high school at that time. That happened. And that was, you know, that's a pretty traumatic thing, even though it didn't happen here. You know, we're talking a couple of states away. When something like that happens,
well,
you're
the scale of it. I think until the Twin Towers, I think that was the biggest single terrorist death in the history of the country. And it was very unsettling. And so many, because there was a daycare in the Edward R. Murrow building. Yeah, so many young children perished that day, and you know how they were able to get away with amassing that much manure and creating those high impact bombs. You would like to think that's not possible now as a result of what was done there.
And how much has to change? You know, not being able to get close enough to a federal building like that without, you know, some sort of identification or clearance. I mean, you can't just, maybe there are some federal buildings you can get pretty close to, but that was, they just parked right out front. They parked right up next to the building.
Yeah. And, you know, and you can't safeguard for every contingency. You just can't. I mean, just look what happened the other day in the Pennsylvania governor's mansion.
Yeah.
Guy jumps the fence, breaks into the building. I still don't know how that happened, because I know our mansion, they've got, you know, highway patrol who do a tremendous job of protecting that facility and protecting the governor and protecting the state capitol. But they've got people in a control booth right inside the back door, monitoring everything that's going on. You've got a contingent of highway patrol officers, including governor's security detail on site. And how that guy in Pennsylvania was able to get in and start a fire and then get out and back over the fence, that's a real puzzle to me.
Like they had to go catch him.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You would think that the moment he stepped foot on ground, And before he, you know, getting up to the house even would have been
handled.
Yeah,
I've not seen how that thing's laid out.
I haven't either.
But there's a very secure perimeter around the Missouri governor's mansion. You can't just drive in there.
Right.
And, you know, and it's some distance from the gate to the front door.
But, you know, just thinking about Oklahoma City, thinking about 9/11 and how different those attacks were at the time, it's amazing what we're not thinking about.
Well, that's right.
Right? You're not even thinking about what you're not thinking about. Yeah. You don't even know what you don't know yet.
It was inconceivable that airplanes would somehow be commandeered and used as a
missiles.
Weapon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody had considered that. It was a lack of imagination is what the Bush White House, where they came out on that.
And then in hindsight, going back and looking at it, and you find all these people who were taking piloting courses, but weren't they taking these courses and none of them were interested in learning how to land the planes? Am I misremembering this or is that true?
It could very well be true. I don't remember exactly that, but they certainly did take ample flights on simulators.
Yeah.
To understand how that process worked. And, you know, unthinkable today. And now you've got the cockpit is secured. I mean, so many things have changed as a result of 9/11.
How about this wild story with the person from North County who apparently hijacked a plane in Belize?
Yeah.
And it was a small plane, something like 14 passengers, and had the plane flying in circles and was trying to go to Mexico and then maybe back to the United States, and just absolutely wild stuff.
And that stabbing is, that people. Is, he yeah. stabbed people, killed people, and then he was eventually
he was shot.
Shot. Yeah.
There was somebody on the plane who had a gun on them and were licensed to have it, and that person turned the weapon over to authorities after the fact, but that person shot him.
God, bizarre story.
It was an ex-football coach from McClure North.
Yeah, McClure North.
Wow. Wasn't there. He has not been there in several years. I think 2019 was the last year he was there, but absolutely crazy stuff. That's John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji. When we come back, did you see this? We also are going to talk to Scott Jagow at 10 o'clock.
Nice.
He is roaming St. Louis. He's got three good things for us he wants to talk about. We'll talk City SC with Dale Schilly at 10:30. We'll have some Cardinals discussion at 11 o'clock with Rob Raines. So there is plenty going on today with John Hancock and Chris Ranji on the Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM KMOX. John Hancock, are you into golf?
Yeah, I watched the Masters.
Did you watch
Pretty
the Masters?
Pretty compelling stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you saw Rory McIlroy's big win.
Yeah.
Well, did you see that right now, every piece of mail in the United Kingdom, and it's actually today maybe the last day of it, that they are being stamped, you know, where the stamp goes,
yeah.
And then they postmark it or whatever,
right.
They do the thing over it. There's a message that goes on every envelope that's being mailed that says, "Congratulations, Rory McIlroy, on completing your career Grand Slam." Isn't that nice?
But it's such a rare feat in golf. I think he's the sixth ever to do it. And, man, it looked like, for all the world, like he was going to choke out of that thing, didn't it?
He
tried to give it away. He missed a couple of putts there in the last couple of holes that were breathtaking.
I'm happy for him. I'm a very casual golf
fan. Yeah, I like watching the Masters, especially if there's drama.
I liked the Tiger Woods spectacle.
Yep,
that was the most interest I've ever had in golf.
Yep.
And so I'm struggling trying to find something else, but that's really cool.
Well, I've got one for you.
Oh, cool.
Because tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, the World Snooker Championship starts off at the Crucible Theater in Sheffield, England, and the great Ronnie O'Sullivan, who has pulled out of almost every tournament this year, has announced he will return and try and win his eighth record-breaking world title.
Oh, John, I didn't see this. This is good news.
Yeah, this is the tournament I went to
last year.
And I'm really kind of bummed I'm going to miss it this year. But for snooker, that is the Masters. You know, it's the world championship.
Do you age out of snooker?
Yeah, you do. And Ronnie's right he's 49, he'll be 50 this December. And so, but his skills are quite remarkable. His biggest trouble is the mental aspect of it.
What's wrong with him mentally?
You know, a game gets in your head. It's a very frustrating game.
Oh.
It's hard to make a shot.
So that's what's going on with him whenever he struggles?
Yeah. He'll play with his tip. He'll pull the tip off. And
what?
He's a head case.
That sounds... I don't like the sound of that at all.
Yeah, you don't want to pull the tip
off. Do not pull the tip off.
Not in the middle of a match.
In front of everybody.
Yes.
John, did you see that in New York, New York City, jaywalking is now legal?
You don't say.
I do say. The Department of Transportation revised its rules at a hearing yesterday because they were giving out too many tickets and too many people complained about it. I don't know how I feel about jaywalking rules, because whenever I jaywalk, it seems perfectly fine. Like, why shouldn't I be able to jaywalk?
And
but then
jaywalk,
I watch somebody.
All jaywalk means is you walk across the street in the middle of the street, not at the intersection.
Not at the crosswalk.
So
and
why is it called jaywalking? Because there's no J involved. You're not making a button hook maneuver at the end of it. It's a straight line. Why do they call it jaywalking?
I don't know. Pajeski looked that up. Find out. I have no idea why. But I don't, it's
Supreme
like...
Supreme Court Justice John Jay, perhaps.
I feel like it has something to do with Kansas.
Jayhawks.
Probably not. But I always feel like whenever I cross the street illegally, that I'm doing it perfectly safely. It's other people
who
aren't.
Because you got to look both ways out there.
Yeah, and other people aren't paying attention.
You look to your left, and then you look to your right, and then you look to your left again, and poof, off you go.
The word jay used to be slang for a naive or foolish person, and they used the word jay driver for reckless drivers, people who were driving their horse-drawn carriages recklessly, and then it applied to jay walkers.
You drive a horse-drawn carriage recklessly. Have you ever been behind a horse-drawn carriage?
Yes.
Like in traffic?
Yes.
Not in traffic, but like on a country road or something?
Yeah, the Amish.
They're not. They go 1 mile an hour.
Well, you got to watch. I mean, you get those horses out there, and, you know, there's nothing. I ever tell you about my first and only experience of riding a horse, Ron?
No.
I was at Philmont Scout Camp in Cimarron, New Mexico. This would have been 78. And they put me up on one of these horses on the trail, and they're giving you instructions. We're all in a line, you know. And it was kind of nice. I mean, I was, you know, like it. The horses are kind of stinky.
The horses were kind of stinky.
Yeah. So my horse, at one point during this trip, he walked up to the horse next to me and somehow maneuvered my knee right into the horse's butt in front of me. And I got horse crap all over my knee. And we're about 15 minutes into this thing, you know, and I'm dying over here because you can't breathe and your knee smells like what it smells like, you know, and the horse is having the time of his life. You know, he's laughing at me. That was my last horseback ride.
So you got horse poop on you.
Horse poop on my knee. There's nothing worse than having horse poop on your knee, let me tell you.
Well, yeah, that's probably not
why I don't wear shorts anymore.
Just because you were wearing shorts.
Yes, of course. It was my knee. It wasn't my pants. It was my darn knee. Horse poop all over that thing. That was awful.
I think you're the only person I know ever who's had horse poop on him.
On their knee.
Yeah.
It's not good.
This isn't a funny story. It's not, because a person died as a result. But Florida Highway Patrol arrested James Lawrence Case III after he was driving his Audi S5 at 155 miles down State Road 84. This happened in January.
Wow.
But apparently this driver, James Lawrence Case III, right before the wreck, said to his passenger, "I know what I'm doing."
So I take it the passenger survived.
The passenger did not survive. The passenger was ejected from the vehicle.
Oh, so how do we know that was his last word?
He told the police.
Oh, so he didn't die immediately. He was ejected.
No. The driver told the police. That's what he said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this guy.
Not good.
I don't think he did know what he was doing.
No, apparently not.
That's John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji. When we come back, we got Scott Jagow, a KMOX reporter and anchor who roams St. Louis, and he always has three good things for us, and he's going to tell us what those are when he comes into the studio next on 104.1 FM KMOX.